And right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It is time. We only have one person in the middle studio.
I know. It's just very.
That one person.
She must have air.
Is Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
It feels great to be all alone in here.
See?
It's really
see?
Good.
Left, right.
You're finally cured.
And we have Janet Manco on the telephone. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how is everybody this morning?
We're great. Hot. We're hot as can be. Even I'm hot. That's how hot it is.
But isn't there wind blow? I just happened to walk out. I noticed that the leaves had started rustling and there was hope.
Well, I was disturbed by Pat's weather forecast.
I was too.
I thought we're going to have 2 days of 90s. And he's like, oh, no, it's going to get hot again. It's like, oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It'll break at the end of today and we'll see what happens.
So everybody try to stay cool today.
It's what it is. It is what it is.
At the Lakeville Journal. If you're in the area, we do have air conditioning, and you're welcome to cool off there.
It's true. It's like a shelter this week.
Yes.
People have been coming in and just sitting in the air conditioning.
Isn't it amazing, Janet, how many people stayed around the office this week?
I know. It's true. Hmm.
We have employees we haven't seen in weeks.
We'll use the good old telephone.
That's right.
All right. We'll start off on page one, and of course, the new school year starts, and it starts with what? Early closings because it's so hot.
Oh, right. Well, and of course, they always, when I was a kid, you started school after Labor Day. Yeah. And here they always start before Labor Day, which I find cruel. And then they immediately, I actually haven't looked at the schedule. They immediately go into teacher conferences. But of course, yes, it's been extra hot. And it'll be interesting to see with global warming if schools have to start being air conditioned, because in spring also it's been very, very hot for students in some of these classrooms.
And they're working toward air conditioning in Region 1, but it's just not up there yet. And, yeah, it's hot for those kids.
Well, the superintendent has it. But I don't even think the central office has it. But
yeah.
I know there's that one wing that they redid.
Yeah, they're there all summer.
The wing has the air conditioning. So, anyways, nice pictures of kids going back to school.
Yes, Alex Wilburn went to share. It used to be that, of course, we had town pages, and we'd have to sort of hustle around to get every single one of the schools. So it's a little easier for us, but, you do kind of miss seeing all the kids on the first day of school. It's just so wonderful.
All right, so we have that there. And I love the left-hand side, Cynthia, the Hallingby Ferrari story, where finally...
This is a great story.
What's great about it is his persistence and the might of being right shows up in this story.
Yeah. So fascinating story about Barney Hallingby, who is a well-known sort of bold-faced name from New York City. And in 2008, we'd done a story about how a car had been seized from his property. Some doctor in Switzerland was claiming that it was his car. And we ran the story using the court documents. And then Barney had called me at my house afterward and said, there's more to the story than you realize. And so for 10 years, he's been in court sort of fastidiously with the guy from whom he bought the car. This is a rare car. I think there's only four of this particular Ferrari in existence. And the dispute was settled by Litchfield Court, by Connecticut Court, and Barney has clear title to it, and they've forbidden the Swiss doctor from interfering in any way with the sale of it. And so I, of course, don't know the actual value of the car, but in 2008, an article in the New York Post estimated it at $5 to $10 million. And one of my office mates looked up sort of what Ferraris are selling for, vintage Ferraris, and one just sold for $30 million.
If it's one of four, it's going to be around $50 million.
Yeah. So now he's able to sell it. He's wanted to sell it for many years, but of course, this is the vintage weekend, so this was an interesting story for us to be able to have.
All right.
On our front page.
All right. Enrollment spirits up at Northwest Connecticut Community College.
This is an interesting story and very sensible, which is Michael Rook, who is the head of the college, our wonderful community college in Winsted, spoke to Shaw Isaacson about a curriculum, the way that they'd been presenting classes. A lot of classes had been presented, but because of the way that they were scheduling them, they kept presenting them, and then only one or two kids could take them because of the way the schedule worked, and so they kept canceling them, which was very frustrating to everybody. So they had somebody new come in, and he's reorganized the way that they present the classes and the way they schedule them. And, some of these simple things that sort of, you would consider back office, like none of us, well, I guess we all remember, I don't even know why I'm saying this. Of course, as we know, scheduling is super complex, and we've had a lot of insight into the complexities of it in Region 1 in recent years. But scheduling doesn't seem like one of those things that should have a huge impact on your child's education, but boy, does it. So they've found that students are coming back, are very happy, enrollment is way up, and that's a great thing.
All right. I want to go down to the lower right-hand side of the front page where, Cynthia, you have a story that actually hit social media last week, the end of last week. I know the person involved, and so we did an interview on the letter that he wrote in social media, Robert Wallingford, and you have done a story on the letter and basically what that letter involves.
It's a tough story for us, as all of these sexual abuse stories are, because, you know, often the people that are being accused are local residents, and it's not really up to us to sort of step in and say this person's guilty because a person's made an accusation or because there is gossip in the area. So we I have to give Janet credit for the story because she really guided the story through. And we felt that the best thing was to acknowledge that this situation's going on, but we're withholding names at the moment, as we did with the Hotchkiss abuse story. And we hope, you know, as you said, and as Robert has said to us, he's not planning to file charges or a suit, but he wants justice, and he's seeking it from California.
He's looking for three different things. He's looking for Brian Oler to see if he can get the state to change the statute of limitations,
which I think is a very worthy goal.
And he's also looking, I think, for the town of Salisbury to do a little investigation of its own, find out the facts, and then make sure something like that, if it did happen, doesn't happen again.
Right. And it feels like all of a sudden, it feels like there's just so much sex abuse in this area, and it's not happening now. Almost all of these cases are from the 60s and 70s, and the statute of limitation is 30 years from the time that the young person turns 18, I believe, which is why a lot of these suits are being filed now, because the statute is just about up on some of these cases. So I think that for these people who suffered these situations, it's very, very painful and difficult, and especially culturally, it was not a hashtag MeToo time. And if they could change that statute, that would be a very excellent thing.
And yeah. We received a call here at the radio station. We're going to be working with the McCall Foundation. They're going to come on, and they're going to do a series with us for anybody who needs their help or guidance that might have been affected by something like this, can contact them. That's something that the story also has spurred, which I think is helpful to people.
Yeah,
it is helpful to people, and we can't assume it's not happening now, because part of that statute of limitations issue is that it's very hard for people to come forward. You know, large part of what is so awful about child sexual abuse is that there's secrecy involved and there's intimidation involved, and it's extremely hard for a child to overcome that. Even over time, it becomes ingrained in their nature. I'm no expert, but I know that even after 30 years, it's hard for people to talk about it. So it is important to have support now and be sure it isn't happening now, too. And that's what stories like Robert Wallingford's and the Hotchkiss case and everything it brings to the fore.
And I always like to point out to people that this area is no different than any other area. Sports
right.
are no different than any other business. The percentage of pedophiles and people who have sexual problems in this country is pretty constant, no matter what demographic you go through.
True.
So it's not isolated here, folks. Even though it seems at the moment like we're going through a heavy burden, we're not.
Right.
It's not isolated here. We can't assume that because we wish it weren't happening here, or we think it's not happening here, that it's not happening.
Yeah. All right. As we move on, by the way, a very important story. The Covered Bridge is going to close on September 4th for 1 month.
Yes. And so that's the historic Covered Bridge between West Cornwall and Sharon. And, of course, leads right to Pearlie's Farm Country Cafe,
yep.
The new
right at the foot of the bridge.
Right. And so there are ways to get around it, but you'll have to be a little creative.
All right. Now, a beer bashed in the Northwest Corner. That's a great story by Tim Abbott.
Tim Abbott continues to be delightful. And he's got this wonderful photo of hops, which are, in my opinion, so beautiful. And the first time I saw them was there's a guy in Sharon who's got a property called Smokedown Farm, where he's farming hops for beer. And, of course, there are all these beer brewers now in the area. And it's fantastic for them to be able to get local hops and use them. And apparently they grow wild here and are quite apparently a very good environment for them. So a very interesting story about his hops and how he's trying to decide how much of his garden to let them take over.
All right, and a nice story. There's two nice stories, actually. One on Northwest Connecticut Community College. Enrollment is up, which you would hope it would be with the closing at the UConn campus.
Right, and as we said before, they've reorganized their schedule to make it easier for students to get the classes they want, and that's a big deal.
And the book sales.
That's one of the best book sales around. Of course, Sharon's Hotchkiss Library has a great book sale. Scoville Memorial Library has a great book sale.
In Kent, they have a summer-long
book sale. Kent goes all summer. That's, you know, like a little store.
Yeah,
at a time
Falls
when,
Village,
you know, when,
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, Falls Village on the first Saturday of every month. A fantastic one in Falls Village. But one of my favorites, I don't know why, it just happens to be the Norfolk Book Sale. It's so Rich Kesson, who's a columnist for us, was a volunteer at the sale this year, and he said they had 20,000 books and hardly anything was left by the end of the three-day sale. And they have an auction that's part of that. They have rare books. I bought a set of James Thurber books there once. I got some Eric Sloan books, you know, which are books really that you feel are, ooh, what's going on out there?
Ambulance.
Which are books really that you feel are part of our cultural heritage here in the Northwest corner. So a really, really lovely sale. And then, of course, there's the Norfolk Farmers Market, which is you just walk to from the book sale.
All right, well, yeah, go on. And Shaw has a story. But people remember back to 2017, a killing in Kent, and that has been ruled as self-defense.
Yes, and again, this is a complex one where we're sort of, you know, there's a lot of people who are talking about it and have background, but I think that our experience as a newspaper is you really have to, you know, even people who are very close to a situation and have information about it are often get some details wrong. So I would say we downplayed this a bit, but quite a sad story about a bunch of housemates who were sharing a property, a young mother, so several small children, the father of the children was killed by one of the housemates. But as these things often are, more complicated than it seems, and the state police have ruled it a self-defense and closed the case.
Now, I noticed something on the Art Teachers page, 16 new teachers for Region 1. Don't tell me. Now, it appears, are all 16 female?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which, as you say, you know, back in the old days when I was a kid, teachers were largely women. And we do have a lot of male teachers in the region, of course. But it's nice to see, too, a lot of young people coming back who are, you know, native to the area and will be teaching our local children.
All right. More on that, schools, Housatonic freshmen, given a preview of the year coming up ahead.
And I like that they include as part of their tour of the campus a visit to the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau offices, and they had Rebecca Sakel there, and they got to meet new principal Ian Strever, who had been the interim principal and the assistant principal, and I think he's going to do a great job, and also the new assistant principal, Steve Sheeby.
Sadie the dog doesn't look too impressed. Looks like Sadie's just
hot.
Just hanging
so
out.
Hot.
Come on, guys. You know, let's go outside and lie in the cool.
Yeah,
so where's the water?
But that is a great picture. I'm sorry. I always grow. Sadie's just looking, okay. Now, this is a story that we were talking about, Cynthia, before we got on the air. And really a legend because he's been there for so long, is leaving South Kent School.
Andy Vadney's very interesting, very nice guy. And not really like, you know, you think of these prep school heads as being these sort of these big buff athletic guys. Mm-hmm. And Andy's a sort of a petite super thinker and has been very creative with what he's done with this all-male boarding school down in South Kent. So there's, of course, three private boarding schools in Kent. There's Kent, which is co-ed and right in the center of town, Marvelwood, which is up on Skiff Mountain, and South Kent School, which is all male. And has tended in the past to be very sports-oriented, but he's created this whole curriculum around a farm that was donated by some of the very active, very generous alumni from that school. And that's been a big part of the program there, is working to build farm buildings and working to farm the land and finding ways for these young men to connect to the community and to find what they're good at. And so he's taking a sabbatical and then he's still pretty young. He's going to move on to another, who knows what he's going to do, but it's going to be interesting. But Lauren Smith, who is a faculty brat, as we call them here, is the child of two South Kent teachers and also taught at South Kent for many years and has a very impressive educational resume, is going to step in. He's also on the board of trustees. He'll step in as the interim head of school for now.
All right, the end of the season for the Salisbury Band came in the past week with, once again, their concert in front of the Scoville Library.
That's right, but of course they'll be around at Christmas time, and I believe they'll be at Crop Walk, which is coming up. I need to get the press release on this.
That's September 30th?
You know, we had a press release in, and I've...
Yeah, it's here somewhere. We have loads of press releases this week, by the way. Every page has about five or six, so read it carefully.
Yeah, lots of events coming up.
Yeah, September 30th is a crop walk.
Yeah, but usually the Hot Shots for the Salisbury Band plays there, and then, of course, they play at the Christmas tree lighting out here and in Salisbury. But, yes, it's not the end of summer, though, I would like to point out. because that would be wrong.
But there's kids in school. Yeah. It sure is.
All right, Johnny Cakes and books at the Hunt Library.
I know, it's funny, because, of course, Johnny Cake books in Salisbury, Dan Dwyer's bookshop. But... Jenny Schwartz came down from the Berkshire Co-op. She's been doing a lot of programs there, and which is very interesting, teaching kids about food, which is great. And they learned how to make butter. I make butter all the time, and people are inordinately impressed by that. It's the easiest thing in the world to do if you have a Cuisinart. But I think these kids did it the old-fashioned way by shaking it. But what could be better?
All right. I want to move on to the obituaries because really something that people have been talking about, and a real nice display with the fire trucks hanging the American flag. For Richard Boardman Sr.
Yes. Of course, the Boardmans, a big local family, and a lot of them in North Canaan. And I didn't know him, so I'm going to say Rick Boardman Sr. from Sheffield, and 57 years old, quite young, and a sad loss. One of those guys that makes a town tick.
A town and a region. Yeah, he was well-loved throughout the entire region. Amazing dedication to our area.
Yeah.
Lime Rock Park has their big weekend.
So the parade is, I think it starts at 4?
4 today.
From Lime Rock? So if...
Leaves Lime Rock, goes to Lakeville, Salisbury, turns around at Noble Horizons, back through Salisbury and Lakeville, and then there's a party in Falls Village that begins somewhere around 5 and goes to about 7:30.
Party, party, party. But so of course, people will be lining the sidewalks in Salisbury starting at around 4:15. People bring their lawn chairs out. It's quite a big deal right now, and we love Lime Rock Park for doing this and including people in. And there's admission free for military throughout the Vintage Weekend, and it's a really great, it's my favorite weekend at Lime Rock. But we also have, on the opposite end, the newest kind of car. Elise Sattler and her husband Dan Cloutier went to Canada in their Tesla, and she writes a very interesting story about what that experience was like, and I'd say she liked it.
All right. And by the way, Lime Rock has allowed us to set up a booth in A Paddock. It's Vintage Weekend, and the Bargain Barn to raise funds for Robin Hood Radio will be selling vintage clothing and hats, and there's even going to be a vintage hat contest.
Vintage cars, vintage clothes.
Vintage hats, and vintage me. All right.
All the better.
The cars fared better than I have over the past 30 years. So. All right, an editorial. The new school year begins.
That's right. It's that time of year, and we always try to comment on it and sort of look at what's happening in our region right now. Region 1 is the place, of course, where there was lots of controversy last year over the new scheduling program. This is the second year. Let's hope that it can be fine-tuned and has been over the summer for the better. Let's see where it is. We have a program coming up tonight, actually, at the high school. Anyone interested in scheduling should go to it. Dr. Thomas Guskey, he's at Housatonic Valley Regional High School at 7 p.m. in room 133. Get involved right from the beginning so that nobody's caught off guard as the school year goes on. And best of luck to Ian Strever as our new principal.
He'll do an okay job. He's got several years under his belt, knows the school and knows the district, and I think that is so important to get off and running.
It is. He'll do an okay job. That's a ringing endorsement. So let's hope it's even better, and we do agree with you on Ian. Yeah.
From me, saying something that's an okay job at Housatonic is a ringing endorsement.
Okay. Now I get it.
That is a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, he'll do an okay job.
All right.
He should put that up on his wall.
I don't know if he will, but anyways, it's a ringing endorsement. Letters, the hospital maternity unit.
This is from Dr. Kurish. Very interesting and heartfelt, so do read that one.
We've got the Free Press letter. And once again, the problem that I had, campaign signs. Come on, folks, just leave them out there.
Right from the beginning, when they came up. We don't usually take letters this late from the candidates. We would welcome one from Marie Horn's opponent, Brian Oler, next week to talk about this. It's about the signs, and she indicates, of course, Brian Oler signs as well have been vandalized. Please, this is not a way to express your opinions. Go out to events where the candidates are, let them know what you're thinking. Simply destroying signs is not going to get a message across.
And on the Viewpoint page, you've got Anthony Peel, Ralph Nader, Mark Godburn, but also the skull and crossbones above the White House. I love it. I love Peter Steiner.
Peter Steiner was inspired, as he so often is. So that is very visual. You have to take a look at it.
All right. Editor's Notebook, Cynthia, How Genetics Set the Terrier Apart from the Golden Retriever, and also cherries.
That's right. That's my my friend Tara's new dog that she bought herself on her birthday. And so there was a study that was done on genetics. And, you know, you sort of feel like, of course, all these breeds are bred for specific characteristics. But they did a very in-depth study, and they're using this study to figure out how they can apply it to human athletes and what the qualities are, what the specific genes are that make certain dogs better at hunting or at being adorable, which is what the terriers are. So in my opinion, I always worry when they start talking about how to make people more genetically strong, but it's an interesting study. And of course, everybody loves dogs and wants to know, why are terriers so darn cute? And Quincy Cabot, our wonderful summer intern, that was his last story of the year for us, was on cherries.
All right, and we have about a minute and a half left. Compass, and all, but also I want to mention the real estate section as well, but then also Compass.
That's right. We have Tricorner, and we have the property transfers, which we've been saving up for about 6 months. And Anne would be so mad if she only had a minute and a half, but it's plenty for me. We have a great cover of a photograph from Craven Contemporary, which has been a gallery in Lakeville, a tiny little place near the post office that we all have found really interesting. Leanne Graham reviews the documentary called Scotty, which is a super wild, like the opposite of hashtag Me Too. It's like, you know, we're having a lot of fun and everybody was happy. So very interesting story about an interesting, weird movie. C.B. Wismar, very sensitive, thoughtful review of Mothers and Sons, which is the Terrence McNally play showing at Shakespeare and Company. And he sort of says 95 minutes that goes by in a breath. It's very interesting. Stephanie Coven, the funniest, most perceptive review ever of Chris Crowley and his new back, Younger Next Year, about back specifically. He wrote it with Jeremy James, who's a back expert. And as she points out, Chris is funny and smart and very engaging and welcoming. And this guy, Dr. James, has great information, and the combination is winning. And that's how Chris, in his series of Younger Next Year books, has managed to attract millions of readers. Leon goes to the Craven Contemporary Gallery. Again, this nice little gallery, definitely worth a stop in, and he describes the new show. Chelsea Edgar, the brilliant. Again, talk about a perceptive review. I saw this movie Puzzle. I love puzzles. I love Kelly MacDonald. I identified very heavily with this movie. And she does a great job of dissecting what's going on in a very subtle, quiet movie, and even made me go like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Emily Gates, who's doing such a great job reviewing art for us, goes to Henry Klimowitz's Re-Institute in Boston Corners, which is what we think of as Millerton, but is actually the town of Northeast, and he's got a very interesting show there. I think it's closing fairly soon, September 8th, so do come see it, and that may be the last show of the year. And then, of course, Ann Day's beautiful Compass that she's working very hard on and has lots and lots of activities in the area. How'd I do?
You did good.
Great, and don't miss the calendar, because this is the last week for a while. Compass will be separate. End of summer, things are starting to disappear. So look through calendar and make sure you do something you meant to do all summer.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. And, of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal on the web, tricornernews.com, on Facebook, and right here on the radio. And, of course, at your newsstand and its places throughout the area.
Yes, yes, yes.
We will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Take care. Yep. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.